Greetings, 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 everyone, everyone. I'm, I guess you can say the producer of this lovely soul, Evangelist Chutney Hart. And today we decided to do something a little differently for you all, for the viewers. We're going to interview Chutney. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have had the opportunity to be blessed by her very many podcasts that she's been putting out as of late. I think we have, 14? How many episodes do we have?
17 from season one.
Okay, yeah. So, and so we decided just to do something a little different. I'm going to interview her so that we can get an in-depth discussion going about the creator of Ditch Chronicles. So, without further ado, Ms. Hart, can you just introduce yourself? Or reintroduce yourself?
This is so odd. Okay, being on the other side, I'm used to being the one controlling the conversation. I am Chutney Hart. I am just this little Mississippi-born, Mississippi-raised young lady that, what did I do? Graduated high school from Macomb High School class of 1994. Originally, I was biology pre-med. That's a funny story within itself. Along my journey, I found out I am deathly afraid of blood. I will still black out right now, so clearly that was not going to work. But I graduated from Tougaloo College in 1998. I got married to my high school sweetheart, even though we didn't go to the same school, in 2000. And I have been a resident of Franklinton, Louisiana, ever since, where I served under my mother-in-law, Apostle and Pastor Pauline Hart. And during that process, I used to teach, you know, I was bootlegging. I was just teaching here and there. Yeah. And then one night, I had this dream. And in this dream, I was standing at the stove and I was cooking this big old pot of spaghetti. And as I was coming out of the dream, I hear a voice and it said, "Feed my people." Well, just believe I tried to play crazy. And I went to Apostle and she looked at me and she said, "You know what that dream means."
Start a restaurant?
No, it was not start a restaurant. That probably would have been a lot easier had I started a restaurant. And here I am today.
Okay, let's tell us a little bit about those boys.
The boys that I don't like equally. So I have had experiences or know people or situations where, you know, sometimes parents kind of lean towards one child more than another one for whatever reason. Because you can raise all your children in the same house and they will all just be different people. But I intentionally wanted to make sure that I never really showed favoritism to any of my kids. I didn't want them to think that I loved any of them more than the other one, because I don't. Yeah. So I tell people all the time, I don't like any of them, and they know it, because I tell them often, I don't like y'all. I love all three of them. My firstborn is now 23 years old. Okay. He has 2 more years on the clock and we're gonna kick him completely out of the nest. Because I wanted to give my children a head start in life. I wasn't in a hurry for them to move out of the house. I wanted them to be able to stay home, try to learn some financing, some managing, and kind of get stuff together before they, you know, jump out there. My middle child is 100% my middle child, Micah. Micah is Micah, and that's about all I have to say about that. And then the baby boy, Elisha. That's the one that I used to remind him that I was not intentionally trying to have him. And so he eventually started reminding me that I did not intentionally try to have him. But I am grateful for all of my boys. I found out recently, though, when I went down in my back, that having sons suck. Okay? Because they don't treat you like girls. So I see now I need y'all to go ask a friend or something to start following this podcast, because I'm going to need some more money by the time I get to retirement age.
I know how that is. Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's so funny that earlier, I think it was, I want to say this morning, but really yesterday, I was watching this this action movie about superhero. And, you know, every superhero has their origin story. You know, like, you know, Spider-Man got bit by the radioactive spider and everything, and got his powers, And, you know, Superman, when, you know, he was just a regular old dude until he came to Earth and felt our sun and, you know, he got his powers.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm getting at is, we want to know your origin story, your Ditch Chronicle story. What led you to ministry and what influenced you in the ministry?
That path. I just don't argue with God. So like I said, I was fine bootleg teaching. I was completely content with that. Life was good. But after I had that dream, I knew that he was calling me into ministry. My apostle confirmed it. And I initially went to her and I made that step to get ordained as a minister. But even after I got ordained, you know, she warned me about all of the things that women have to face in ministry. She warned me about not being accepted. She warned me about, you know, people ignoring you, people who won't even respect you and call you by your title. Like, she prepared me for everything that a woman in the South could possibly come up against. And the funny thing is, I wrestled with being called into ministry even after I did it, more than I did with being called as an evangelist. Okay. I didn't even go to her about being called as an evangelist. She told me, but when she told me, I already knew, if that makes sense. And it's like, I accepted being called as an evangelist better than I did being called as a minister. I guess that was my birthing pains, if you will, my learning curve. Because sometimes I was, even though she warned me, I still got intimidated. I still got intimidated, you know, when people, there was an incident where I'm sitting in church and the preacher looked dead in my face and then called out the person next to me.
Wow.
And that kind of stuff used to bother me. But during my birthing process, during that first round as a minister, that's when like God just kind of worked out all those kinks out of me. And so by the time he called me as an evangelist, I don't care. I know who I am. So you ain't got to call me nothing. Nobody has to ever call me anything because I know who I am.
That's okay. Good answer. Okay. Okay. So tell me, what inspired the Ditch Chronicles? What we know today as Ditch Chronicles. What did you, and also, did you envision that those little, you know, few minutes at the ditch would evolve into this? Like, what was your intentions or expectations?
I was stir crazy like everybody else. But there were people who were saying that the virus wasn't real. And we're all looking at the same social media accounts. We all know people personally that's starting to come down with it. And my inner biologist. Yes, I'm sorry. We're talking about COVID 2020.
Okay.
And my inner biologist just, I couldn't take anymore. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit in the ditch. I'm going to go outside. These people be on here going live. I'm going to go live. I don't even remember if I had ever gone live before. I can't remember. But this particular day, I had enough. And I said, I'm gonna go hang out in this ditch and I'm gonna talk. And after that was over with, that was pretty much the end for me. And I ran into somebody. No, I'm gonna take that back. Facebook Memories brings up a post from Brother Producer. In March of 2020, when I went out there and sat in that ditch, Raymond Williams already knew, like he saw it. Ooh. And he was like,
why?
Nobody but
why saw it?
He said, I don't know, I think you're onto something with these Ditch Chronicles. And I was like, Ditch Chronicles, whatever.
Pray tell.
That's the tale. She want me to tell it. It was after we actually started the podcast that this stuff started coming up in my memories. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away. I was like, wow. There were also incidents where I would run into people in the grocery, because nobody was on the live. It was like four people hanging out on the live with me. Yeah. So, I mean, I needed to get it off my chest. And that was pretty much the end of it. And I started running to people in the grocery store and just out around town. And they said, girl, when you going back to the ditch? And I was like, you watch that? And so because people kept asking me when I was going back, I'd be like, let me go hang out in the ditch. And so whenever something was on my mind, I would go see. It was like it became therapy for me, right?
Yes.
And I went and sat out there and talked.
So tell me, what revelation have you achieved with the title Ditch Chronicles? Like, what's your interpretation? Because I'm pretty sure like a newbie or somebody just happened onto your podcast. What is your definition or revelation of Ditch Chronicles?
So the thing about God is he's smarter than us, okay? He knows everything. Me going to that ditch was a matter of convenience for me because it was just a cool spot to sit in. Mm-hmm. And by, I ran into somebody and they were like, do me a favor, sis, get out the ditch. And I said, okay. And they said, you know what all run through a ditch? They said, that's nasty. Don't go back to the ditch. I said, okay, I won't. And for about 3 weeks, I was like, well, what am I going to call it when I go outside to talk to people? Now, mind you, I'm still not thinking about a podcast. Mm-hmm. And as I was like just kind of going back and forth over, the Lord started speaking to me and he was like, okay, cool. Yes, the ditch is dirty, right? Yeah, you live on a corner, people drive by, they throw their trash in your ditch. He said, but Chutney, what is the purpose of that ditch? Yes. I was like, okay, it's a drainage ditch. So when we have a lot of rain, the ditch is keeping water out of my house. Sometimes, a few times, my husband has gone outside with it pouring down rain with a shovel because he's back there clearing one of the drain ditches because the water in the yard is now even with the ditch.
Gotcha.
And so he would go clean it so the water can drain. But whatever is in the ditch is in the ditch, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether it's people's trash, whatever it is. And so God was like, no, I want you to go where people are. People that are dirty, that are nasty, they're not in a church. Gotcha. They're not sitting in the four walls. They don't even want to come because they feel like everybody's judging them. He said, they're out there in that dirty, nasty place. And I want you to stay in that dirty, nasty place, but I want you to give them something that's going to help them come out of that dirty, nasty place. When it's downpouring and that water is filling up my yard, I can stand in my front door and I look at that drainage ditch. And like I said, when it gets too full, my husband knows it's a blockage somewhere. And so he goes out there, clears the blockage, and then the water goes back down. And, you know, it continues to flow. And so even in that, I'm looking at the ditch and just beyond the ditch is the house.
Gotcha.
Right? So just beyond where all that nasty stuff is your place of safety.
Gotcha.
And if you can just come out of the ditch, gotcha, you can make it to your safety spot.
Okay. That's poignant. I think I heard about 20 or so t-shirt possibilities that we could make. Put some phrases on
it. We working on it.
But so tell me, I mean, I know podcasting, you know, we're in this day and age where podcasting is a thing to do. It's convenient for people, gives them an opportunity to, you know, to share their thoughts. I mean, what's your take on it? How do you feel about podcasting versus actually being behind a pulpit? Or do you see any difference between the two?
It's different. They're very different. When you are recording, you're just staring at a camera as opposed to when you're in that podium and you have like that live feedback.
Yeah.
Too many times I have discredited myself, and God, outside of my producers who were telling me positive things, God had to allow other people who weren't as close to me to confirm what they were telling me. We're in a time now where everything is changing. And so even the church has to be able to adapt to that change, to be able to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And being able to have the opportunity, I've learned, you know, from outside sources, they were commending me. They were like, oh man, you're a natural. And I'm like, a natural what? Clown? Because this is what, when I tell you this is me, like this is me every single day. Like actually I'm being good when the camera is up because I'm a whole lot worse when it's off. But it's kind of the same, but not really. Just in the fact that, you know, you're just talking to a device as opposed to when you have that audience and you have that interaction and that engagement. So I personally appreciate every single person that, even if you don't, people that don't comment necessarily, because that's not, I'm not doing it for clicks. I don't care about that. I have a job. I appreciate people. I appreciate people, though, when they see me in person and they say thank you, or you don't know how much that blessed me, or when they inbox me and say, oh my God, that was for me. Like, that's the ministry part for me. And so attacking it as a podcast is just my opportunity to use modern technology to be able to get more word out. And that's pretty much all it is.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the process, the preparation. I mean, how much time do you spend in your private time, you know, in preparing these messages that you got, you know, we put out basically every week, you know? And so what's that behind the scenes process, the process before you come to the camera is like your prayer time or study time, or, you know, some people look at this thing like it's so easy, like, you know, you just fly from the hip with it, but it's actually, you know, you got to spend some, you know, some personal time with God to really hear his voice clearly. And know exactly what he wants you to share with the people, because, you know, this is a different medium. You know, you're reaching potentially hundreds and thousands of people. So, I mean, so what's that private process is like before coming before a camera and spilling your guts?
I cheat a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I work smarter, not harder.
Gotcha.
So when we officially decided to podcast, I don't remember where or when it hit me, but I said, "Ooh, I got it. I'll just use some of these sermons that I preached before." And without really even thinking about it, that is what all of season one was, and even up to this point, season two. So whatever engagements I've had, because I realized something, the cool thing when you don't get messages off Google, you own the rights to them.
Gotcha.
I'm like, wait a minute. So the time that you're talking about is there, because that's time that I spent before the Lord. That's time that I was praying and asking God, what do I tell the people? What do I say? What is it that you want me to give your people? And so I take those messages, and then I just, is it maybe a sermonette, if
gotcha.
You will,
so,
and
so
we
not,
take
we
those.
We got Chat GPT in it.
No, I don't even own Chat GPT.
Okay, gotcha.
I've heard about it. It sounds excellent, but I didn't even use it while I was working on my master's degree. Like, I'm gonna do this myself.
Gotcha.
So that when I say I cheat, then that's all it is. Whether I've taught a Bible study, and it's kind of funny, y'all, because I don't have a bunch of detailed notes. Okay, like, you know how some people are really organized? I get extremely nervous. I'm an introvert. Most people don't want to believe that, but I really am. I'm a functioning introvert. And so I get really, really nervous. And I also can't read when I'm in front of people. So when I'm preparing a message, I have to just go over it like multiple times. And on my notes, I have to put like little bullet points, and then whatever God gives me from there. Most of the time, if you ever heard me speak, if I sound like I just got really excited in the middle of the message, that's because God just told me something that I didn't write down.
Okay, but tell me this, you know how most people, you know, you've been, you know, reading the Bible for years, you've been to several services upon services and hear different preachers, and sometimes you can hear a scripture or a verse and then hear that same scripture and verse 4 or 5 years later and get a different revelation. Do you get a revelation, even though these are like pre-prepared messages, I mean, that you've done before? Does it give you like a brand new fresh revelation having to revisit those?
Absolutely. As you know, I'm a classroom teacher. I've been classroom teacher for 16 years. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we have the responsibility of doing is trying to make information relevant.
Gotcha.
Trying to present information in a way that kids understand how this information applies to the real world. And part of that started merging into my ability to minister. And so growing up as a little kid, my mama, oh my God, it used to drive me crazy, right? She used to get revelations out of anything and everything. And when I tell you it annoyed me, I'm like, oh my God, we can't even watch a basketball game. And little did I know I was going to become my mama. Yeah, and so these little analogies, God would speak to me. And I would be like, oh, wow. And then I would go into the word and find exactly what he's talking about. There's something in education called backwards design, where you work from the end to the beginning. And when God is giving me messages, he backwards designs my messages. He'll give me a topic and I won't even know how it applies to the word or how the word applies to it. And so then my assignment becomes go figure out how these two meet. And everything he has ever given me has absolutely been backed up by the word.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You mentioned your mom briefly. I know everybody, you know, when new ministers, you know, when they start preaching, they usually have somebody that they can that influence their style, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, they got some people that, you know, they've watched this preacher for so long till when it's their opportunity to now be in the forefront and be preaching, they adopt some of that style. And have you adopted anything from your parents, or what type of influence they had on your abilities and gifts when delivering the word?
The analogies is definitely my mom all day, every day. Another person is my bishop from when I was a little girl, Bishop Raymond Leslie. Bishop Leslie used to preach in such a way that you felt like you were in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
You felt like you were in whatever city these events were happening, like you were in the crowd when they were getting ready to crucify Jesus. That's really where I started to fall in love with the word of God, because he delivered it in such a way. I'm a visual learner, right? So he created so much imagery that I would get drawn completely into the word. And so as I became an adult, because I'm a visual learner, that aspect of ministering is very important to me. That I be able to take you wherever we're going, wherever the message is going, wherever God wants us to go. But I want you to see it. If we can, I want you to smell it.
Gotcha.
But the two of those stand out most in my mind.
Okay. I know by the time your mom and your dad gets to see this video, they're going to be like, okay, you didn't say that I was your influence, you know? Well, shouts out to Mama Heart
Wells
Kitchen. Shouts out. I'm gonna say you was the influence, and you can just bring my chicken salad the next time.
That's
she comes
up there.
Shameless
plug. Shameless plug.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? So my vote is for Miss Wells. You know, I'm gonna say Wells was the influence. Okay, but I guess one last thing, I know that, you know, as a result of these podcasts, it birthed a book.
Yes.
Tell us about the book.
So again, I have to pause for a second. I'm apostolic. So if you know that ain't your cup of tea, then ain't your cup of tea, but that's what I am. And I believe very strongly in the prophetic.
Gotcha.
And I have my mentor, Prophetess Shamika Brunfield, Prophetess Dr. Shamika Brunfield.
Put some respect on.
And I also there was another woman of God that I encountered from Recover All Ministries in Macomb, Mississippi, Apostle Opal Nobles, who didn't know anything about anything. Prophetess Shamika was telling me about, you know, God wants you to write, God wants you to write. And so I started composing the first book.
Gotcha.
And then eventually she said, the Lord wants you to do something quick, because the first book is going to take a little minute. And she said, the Lord wants you to do a quick writing. She said, I don't know, maybe do something with the ditch. And I'm still like, I don't know what she talking about. And I kind of dismissed it. My producer said, hey, you ready to start recording? And I said, yeah, okay. And I just kind of strung them along too. And one morning I was on a live with Apostle Opal Nobles. Now, she doesn't know anything about anything about anything.
Gotcha.
And she began to instruct me to start the podcast. So I'm almost ready to throw my phone across the room,
Wow. You
know, and we do the podcast. But coming back to the book, I was texting my brother. I'm older than him, but he my big brother, but I'm older than him. I was texting Dr. Ty. And I was, you know, I was just talking in general, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm wrapping up my master's degree. you know, and now I got to write this book. And it's like the second I text the words to him, I have to write this book. The Lord literally laid the whole book out. And so as I'm texting Dr. Ty, I'm telling him what the book is going to be about. And so as soon as I finished, I just grabbed my computer and just started typing.
Wow.
And he said, what I say? Work smarter, not harder. He said, yes, you've done the podcast, but there are people who haven't watched it.
Gotcha.
So don't be afraid, because I kind of feel like, okay, we beating a dead horse now. Like, how many times we gonna tell these people this? He said, no. So when I start writing the book, I just started going by each podcast. So I go watch the podcast, and then I type it up. And then I watch the podcast, and then I type it up. And when I get about 5 days in, like, when I say divine inspiration,
wow.
He inspired me and said, no, put a spot for reflection.
Gotcha.
And I was like, well, if I do that, now I got to double back. He said, well, double back then, sis.
Come on. Yeah.
And so I double back, and every single day was this spot of reflection, which even just ties to, you know, writing a vision and making it plain. I think sometimes we believe God for things, but sometimes we need those visual reminders. We need those cues like, hey, look, in this season of my life, I was praying for this, this, and this, right. And I needed God to do this, this, and this. And sometimes you got to be reminded, like, guess what? He did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, at my big age, I don't remember everything like I should. And so I was like, okay, well, that's how we'll set it up, and that's how we'll format it. And it was kind of surreal. By the time I finished it and was going to Amazon for publishing, like, that final moment before I hit submit, like, I had a moment where I was blown away, like, wow. One of the things that Prophetess Shamika told me was to give myself a time limit, because I'm a procrastinator. I don't know if she knew that, but God knew. And my first timeline I gave myself, I missed it. My first timeline was 45 days. Life happened. So I gave myself 60 days. But in 60 days, that entire book was written. But the thing that's most unique about it for me is because I was in a season of my life where I was back in the ditch. And so I don't hide from that. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when God delivers us from stuff, we just preach at people and not being transparent and letting people know, like, hey, I've been where
exactly.
You are.
Exactly.
No, when I wrote that book, I was in the ditch too.
Okay, wow, that's deep. That's deep. I didn't expect all that. I mean, I got some new insight and all of that. You know, they got this phrase, you know, behind every good man is a good woman. Tell us about your good man that you stand with.
We've been down like four flat tires ever since 1991.
91.
No. 93. No, I think I met him in 91, but we wasn't going out yet.
Okay, Pat, I'm gonna need you to.
Yeah, cause see, you know, in the holiness churches, it'd be like two boys, and so all the girls be trying to date the same boy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, like, that's probably before y'all. Yeah, y'all don't even know what that was like.
What church were you two going to?
We were a member of Powerhouse of Deliverance.
Okay.
He was in Franklin to know, and I was in Macomb. Our churches were in fellowship with each other. Yeah, so I met him in 91.
Uh-huh.
But I needed a prom date.
Oh, wow.
So I asked him to take me to my prom. Mm-hmm. And in return, since I was so kind to ask him to take me to my prom, he asked me to be his girlfriend.
Oh, wow. Okay. Smooth criminal. Smooth. What took you to prom? You know, now you're my woman. Okay, we's married. So how long did you say you two been married so far?
We just celebrated 25 years.
25 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm pretty sure y'all know just about everything about each other.
Just about.
Really, really. I know they got this saying that, you know, soulmates favor. And yeah, y'all look like twins. y'all might want to check some birth certificates and stuff. Make sure, you know, in 27 years, marrying my brother. That I didn't know about. But, you know, before we wrap, you know, things up, is there something particular that you just want to share with the viewers today? And matter of fact, if there's just like a prayer, I guess, that you could just send out to everybody that's viewing this podcast, I think that'd be a befitting way to you know, close and stuff for us.
The thing I just want to share is probably I'm biased towards women. Just because it's still, it's a fight that we shouldn't even be fighting.
Amen.
And so I just want to encourage you that whatever God is calling you to, He'll put you in the right place. He'll give you the right people.
Absolutely.
And don't be afraid. I'm also just, I'm biased to backsliders. Mm-hmm. People who are familiar with church. Don't let the folks who don't have the right thing on their mind keep you from God. Don't let whatever they're doing and saying keep you out there, because now is not the time to be out there outside of the ark of safety. Like, it's just not a good time for that.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't need me to give you a speech about it. Like, you see everything I see, you know, with the news and everything else, and it's not getting any better. So don't let religious people, mm-hmm. don't let religious people keep you away from God. Yes, you can go to church online, but it ain't the same. You know it ain't the same. I know it ain't the same. You know it ain't the same. He told us, don't forsake to assemble ourselves together. And I don't want you to dismiss that part. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all those whose ears this podcast falls upon today. Everyone that hears this interview, Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you touch their hearts, that you touch their minds right now, Lord Jesus. God, we ask that you encourage them, God, especially, Lord God, those that feel like they're all alone. God, those who feel like you are not even with them, Lord God. God, everybody is going through something, God. So many are going through tests. They're going through trials. Lord God, so many are dealing with grief. Father, we ask that you touch them right now, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you because we do know that you don't make any mistakes, God. And we ask that you comfort their hearts. We ask that you comfort their minds. We ask that you touch that single mother, God, that's doing the very best that she can, Lord God. God, we ask that you encourage her, that you strengthen her, Lord God. God, we ask, Lord God, that every sinner, whoever they are, Lord God, that they understand that they're never too far away from you, that even in the ditch, if they could just look up, there is safety beyond that, God. And if they're willing to submit themselves to you, if they're willing to submit their lives to you, that you will show up in their life and that you would be strong and that you would be mighty, God. God, I ask that even as this podcast continue, God, that you help me to continue to be transparent before your people, God. God, you help me, God, to continue to give you all the praise, to give you all the glory. And God, we ask, Lord God, that it not just be words, Lord God, but God, that somebody may be drawn to you, God, that it will be life-changing for them, Lord God. Father, we thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, folks. Well, we're going to wrap this up with our ever-popular closing. And Evangelist Chutney, what's that ever-popular closing?
As always, remember that there is safety just beyond the ditch.